Luke, if you'll turn there in your Bible and stand with me when you find it, Luke chapter 2, and we'll read our text tonight. Luke chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Our text is verse 13 and 14, so we'll emphasize those verses when we get there, but beginning in verse number 1, we'll get the story here. Leading up to our text. Luke 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now our text. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What I want to do is I want to read verse 14 again, but I want us to all read it together. Okay? Verse 14, ready? Begin. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What you just now read, the angels knew, but sometimes we don't. You know why the angels sang that? Because they knew it was true. We're going to talk about that tonight. My title in the bulletin last Sunday was Peace on Earth, but I got a better one. The angels know. They do know. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you tonight. So we pray for your power, your touch, your strength, the work of the Holy Ghost in us. We'll give you glory for what you do, God. You're already working in our presence. I pray your spirit would touch us tonight. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. My wife comes into the house sometimes or into the room and she says this. She says, "Did you notice something different about me?" Now, I always immediately say yes. Yes. Then I have about 3 seconds to figure it out. Sometimes less. It's your hair. It's, your nails. You got a new outfit. I don't know what it is. I think it's that way with the blessings of the Lord in our life or the work of God in our life. I think sometimes we know that God is working, but it's as though it sneaks up on us or it's a mystery to us. His work is around us. He's doing a great work. We talked about it on Sunday night. The working of God's work. God is working a work. And he's faithful to work a work. He's working in your life. But sometimes we don't see it. It's as though the Lord says, "I did something in your life today. Did you notice?" Yes, of course I noticed. Let me think about it. No, I'll be honest with you. I didn't notice. And that's the way we are sometimes. With the work of God in our life. God is faithful, he's good, he's just, he's holy, and he wants to do a work in us. And here's what's amazing, he is doing a work in us. Now, Joseph and Mary, they're going through a really tough season here Not because God's not working, but just because it seems like things are getting out of order. She's expecting with child, and she knows that this child is of the Lord. And Joseph knows that this child is of the Lord. And so maybe they had arrangements all made so that they had the nursery and all the things arranged for the delivery of the child. And then the wrench is thrown into the plans where now they have to travel from where they are in Nazareth. And they have to travel to Bethlehem. And this just disrupts everything. It would have been uncomfortable. She would have had to ride on a donkey and a long journey. And then when they get there, because of this taxation that disrupted everything in their life, there's no rooms. And she's expecting with child. It's been a long journey. She's tired. And all of these dynamics that I think sometimes when we read the scriptures, we forget about. But there's no room in the inn. And so what they find is a stable where the animals are. And they are in this stable, and it is in this stable that Mary delivers the child, the Lord Jesus. And what an amazing thing. I was reading about this, and one writer noted that there was no room in the inn is a picture of man's heart, that there's no room. There's so much that clutters our life that we don't have time for God. We don't have room for God. There's so many other things that draw our attention and take us from our focus where it needs to be. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. And yet there's no room in the inn. So she's in the stable and Joseph is in the stable and Jesus is delivered. She lays him in the manger. The Bible then goes from this story in this picture that's been painted of the delivery of the Lord Jesus to the shepherds that are in the field watching over their flock. The Bible says that while they're watching their flock, it indicates that the angel of the Lord appears. And in the appearance of the angel of the Lord, he has good news. It's like the good news of the gospel. It's like any time that you go to a church that preaches the Bible, do you know what you ought to hear there? The good news. That Jesus came and he made a way. And because of him, we can have access to the Father. Did you know that it might be tonight that you came to church expecting this, you know, calm little Christmas sermon, but now you got a pastor who's yelling and hollering, but we have something to enjoy. We have something to joy in. The message of the gospel, there's hope for mankind. And you're here tonight and it might be that God is wanting to stir in you, kindle a fire and ignite a fire in you to say that there's hope for your eternal destiny. That you're in church tonight, and not only are you here tonight to hear a message about Christmas and a message about Jesus coming, but here's the message you have, a message of the good news that Jesus came and he made a way for you to be reconciled to the Father so that when you leave this life, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'll be in heaven with the Father. And you might not know that tonight. You might not know the good news. You might have heard about the good news, certainly if you've heard about Jesus, but you might not have assurance that you'll see him one day when you leave this life. And so the angels appear to the shepherds and declare, there's good tidings, this is good news. It's so much better than you even realize that the door of heaven is about to be open and the bridge is made through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after this, before we hear of the shepherds departing and making their way to Jesus, the angel, the host of heaven appears. And the Bible says they have a song. Did you see that? Look at verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That's the angels of heaven praising God, singing praises. You know, it's amazing that if anybody knows of the glory of God and the wonder of God and the magnificence of God, it's the angels who've seen him. Amen. And the Bible says they appear and they appear with singing. They appear with praise. And you know what their praise is? Their praise is three things. Now this is where it gets exciting to me. That these three things that the angels praise and glory in the Lord about, it's something that they know. Do you know why they know? Because they've seen it. Amen. But we don't always see it. It's true, but we don't always see it as true. Let me give you all three of them. One at a time, though. Number one, Look at verse number 14. It says, glory to God in the highest. You know what that word highest means? It means all power, all glory. That means God is the God of all. He's the God of all. So number one, God is the God of all. He's the God of all power. He's the God of all wonder, and the glory does belong to Him. The point is this, that God is working in a miraculous way. He's working in a wonderful way, but watch this. He's working in a way that only God can work. He's doing a work in our lives that only He can do. Have you ever heard this, that God can move mountains? Have you ever seen God move a mountain in your life? I have. You know why I'm in Phoenix? It's because God moved mountains. That's the only reason I'm here. I didn't like write this up on my, you know, vision for my life. I mean, this is better than I could have wrote. And God did it. I was serving the Lord, doing as He was leading me to do. And I remember on the Sunday, sitting over there on that side, when Brother Chad was teaching his lesson, and God touched my heart. He's ready to be the pastor. Well, hang on a second, I'm the pastor. If He's ready to be the pastor, what does that mean God's doing in my life? Oh no, I think God's moving me. No, all of this is happening during that lesson, by the way. No, God's not moving me. I'm just having this feeling, and it's all emotions. But I tell you, it happened. I tell you, I was sitting there, and God touched me, and He said, He is ready to be the pastor, and I'm going to move you. That was on Sunday in November. I think the day was the 15th. 3 days later, or 2 days later, as a matter of fact, Brother Randolph gives me a call, who's the previous pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Phoenix. He calls me, and I think, oh, he's traveling through. I want to have him come and preach for us. And I answered the phone, hello, are you, you know, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm on my way through Nebraska. I was just seeing if we could maybe collaborate or something. No, he didn't say that. He started off by saying this, don't hang up on me. That's what he said. Okay. I wasn't planning to do that, but I won't hang up on you. He said, there's a church in Glendale, Arizona, I want you to think about with me. He had a lot more things to say than that. Brother Randolph's not a man of few words. So he had a lot that he needed to say about the church in Glendale. But you know what was crazy? I had 6 calls before that, leading up to that call in my ministry. I don't know if I told you this, Brother Larry. I'd had 6, in 10 years, I was there for 10 years. I'd had 6 different calls to go to different churches in those 10 years. Well, anyway, you're right where God wants you to be. Why would you leave? I said no, every time. Nope, not interested. I'm right where God wants me to be. Nope, not interested. And I did that 6 times. I would have done it this time, but I couldn't. You know why? Because the Sunday just before that call, God touched me. Listen, nobody can get the glory for that except God. Nobody can get the glory for that except the Lord. Why? Because He is the one who is the highest. He is the God of all. He has all power and deserves all glory. And He did that work. You know what's amazing? The very next day, I'll read this verse to you. Don't turn there in your Bible, but this is my Bible reading the next day. This is gonna blow your socks off. You ready for this? I'm serious. I'm reading through my Bible in a year, and I wasn't even thinking about it, but that was on Wednesday. Brother Randolph called me. This is Thursday Bible reading, Jeremiah chapter 1, and I read this verse. Hold on to your socks. Here's what God said to Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces. Or verse 7. Yeah, don't be afraid of their faces. Watch out for this guy on the front row, man. His face, woo! Verse number 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Wow. What is happening? God, are you moving me? Are you doing this? There was no question about it. God did that. And He deserves all the glory. And this is what the angels know. You might wonder about it. You know, I wonder if God's working in my life. I wonder if God can move mountains in my life. I got some pretty big things in the way. Can God move mountains? Yep. Glory to God in the what? Highest. You know, you might wonder about it, but the angels don't. They know. He's God the highest. So that's number one. Number two, He is the God of all comfort. Amen. He's the God of all comfort. You know what He said, peace? Here, He said on earth, peace. Do you know that God gives peace? Did you know there's nothing that can give peace except God? Not real peace. You can have a kind of happiness that's temporal, but it doesn't last. Only God can give you peace. As a matter of fact, God gives you peace that passes understanding. God can give you peace in a trial, in a struggle, in a hardship. He can give you peace in those times. The world can't give you peace. The world can't satisfy. The Bible says this, that He takes your sin when you turn your heart to Him. He takes your sin and He buries it to the depths of the sea. Amen. He buries it. You know, we don't even know how deep the sea goes. We've never even been to the bottom. But I don't want to go to the bottom. You know why? Because that's where our sins are. I don't think God will ever let us get there. That's reserved for our sins. And that's where they go. He also described it this way. As far as the east is from the west. Amen. The east is from the west. That's His mercy. His forgiveness. Isn't that comforting? That's peace right there. The peace of God to say, I'll take your sins away. The peace of God to say, I'll give you salvation by grace. You can't earn it even if you tried. Well, you know, how much is it going to cost? You don't have enough. So, well, what if I had it all? You don't have it all. But by the way, even if you did have it all, it wouldn't be enough. But let me say this, you don't have it all anyway. This isn't in my notes at all, but let's go. Genesis chapter 14, you know what it says? It talks about God, the Most High God. Melchizedek. You know that story in Genesis 14? Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. The Most High God. Do you know His name there in Hebrew? It's El Elyon. Do you know what it means? The God who possesses heaven and earth. What does that mean? The possessor. That means He owns it. What does He own? Heaven. Okay. That's like the space and where God is, right? And the earth. What's that? That's like where we are. So He owns the heavens and the earth. I'm pretty sure that's everything. Don't you think that? Yeah, so God owns it all. So even if you did own it all, or you felt like you had enough and maybe you could make your way, but you don't have enough and you don't own any of it, and God owns it all, and God wants to work that work of peace in you. You can only have peace in Him. And by the way, He offers it as a gift, and that's what grace is. Grace is an unmerited gift. It's something that it's like Christmas. We opened presents this morning, and we teased about my father-in-law. He had a gift certificate, but it looked like a bill. And so the kids were giving it, Grandpa, here's your Christmas present, but it has a bill on it. You have to pay for it. Aren't you glad gifts don't have bills with them? Maybe some of y'all, you paid for your own presents, and you're like, oh yeah, I had bills. But that's not how gifts work. You don't pay for gifts, or it's not a gift. Here's what God says, I have a gift for you, the gift of everlasting life, and you can only receive it by grace. You can't earn it, you can't pay for it. I'll give you peace, and that peace comes as a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're here tonight, maybe you never heard this before, but you can be saved, and you can have real peace. That's what comfort is. Did you know the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter? I'm saying so many things that I did not plan to say. He's called the Comforter. You know why He's called the Comforter? Because comfort comes from Him. Real comfort. And you can have that. So number two, let me say this. So sometimes we wonder if He can give us peace, right? But the angels know. They know. And they praise Him. And they sing. And they lift their voice. Because they understand something is true. That He can give you peace. Number three, He can give you delight. Look at that last phrase, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. This is the song of the angels. On earth, peace. And then He said this, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. I think it's Jeremiah talks about the thoughts of the Lord towards us are good thoughts continually. The thoughts of the Lord. I'm misquoting it, but this is this essence of the scripture. The thoughts of the Lord towards us are good thoughts continually. God wants you to have delight in your life. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 37 verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight comes from Him. We want blessings in our life. We want joy in our life. We want delight, enjoyment, and things that bring happiness in our life. We want those things, and we want to be in a place where we'll have those blessings. And what we end up doing, What we end up doing is we get off of God's track because we think that we know what will make us happy. And we start to engage in those things and we embrace those things. And we commit ourselves to those things. Why? Because we think it'll make us happy. It'll make us feel that delight that we long for. But God says delight. The angels understand delight comes from the Lord. I remember when I was a kid, I told this once, but it has to be said here. When I was a kid, my best Christmas gift memory, maybe of all time, was when I was a young kid and I opened up a gift and it was the Superman action figure. You know what I'm talking about? Like from the 80s? This was sweet. I mean, you open it and he had the cape, the cloth cape that you could take off and put it back on. That was what made it amazing. You know, like take it off, he's going to go to sleep. We'll put the cape back on tomorrow. I played with that thing all day. All day. I mean, we flew around inside and outside. We just were flying around together all day long. And then I remember taking my Superman action figure. I took his cape off because it's bedtime. And I had him, but you know, I didn't lay him down because I wanted to look at him. So I remember in the back room, remember that shag carpet at Grandma's house? Anyway, I put him on that nightstand right by the bed. And he was standing there looking at me. And I put my head on the pillow and we were making eye contact. And I pulled the blanket up and I fell asleep looking at my Superman action figure. It was the best, one of the best Christmas memories I've ever had. Why? Because of the delight that I felt. And we have great memories, delightful memories, and we long for those. That's why we like to be around people who make us feel delight. Because we want to feel delight. But maybe you forgot. Or maybe you wonder, can God give me the kind of delight that I long for? Can God give me the kind of happiness and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment that I long for? The angels know. And they sing. Goodwill toward men. Do you know it's amazing? The angels know some things that sometimes you and I forget about who God is. They're with Him. They know the whole thing. It's kind of like when the kids kept coming into the room last night and we're trying to wrap some stuff, last second wrapping. Anybody do that yesterday? Anyway, we're doing the last second wrapping and the kids are like, hey, Mom, no, get out of here. Get out of here. We're trying to do something here. You know, but whenever you're in there and you're part of the wrapping process, guess what? You know what everybody's getting. Basically, only Mom knows, but she mostly wraps. But you know what people are getting because you're in the process. Here's how the angels are. The angels know. Why? Because they're with God. They know all the gifts. They know all of the blessings. They know all of God's abilities. They know His glory. They know that He's the highest. They know it. They've seen it. They're behind the scenes and they've seen God at work. They know He's the highest. They know He's the God of comfort. They know He's the one that brings real delight. Melissa and I like to play Brother Joe and Miss Sarah a game. And Brother Joe and I, generally speaking, destroy the girls at this game. We are kind of in a slump right now. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the real truth. Don't talk to the girls about it. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Don't even look at them. So here's what happened. I had my lucky shirt on. Okay? Has a couple holes in it. Two on this side, one on this side. Pat them whenever we were getting ready to go. Lucky shirt, you know? And the girls could not beat us when the lucky shirt was going. You know what I mean? Like, lucky shirt. Then it was like game night again. I'm like, where's my shirt at? I could not find it. And I think, you know, okay, so laundry's getting backed up. And I thought about wearing a dirty shirt, but probably won't do that. So I just, you know, whatever, wore whatever shirt. And we lost that night. I'm like, man, I think this is like, I don't know. So fast forward, like next week, or a couple of days later, I think, and it's my birthday, and I thought all the gifts were done, and I got another gift. It's like this bag, and I picked up the bag to put it over so I could open it, and I could tell it was cold. And I haven't opened it yet, but at this point, Kaylin is giggling, like ferociously giggling. And I don't know, it's not clicking with me what's happening right now. She's just giggling. You know why she's giggling? Because she knows. She knows what's in the bag. And then the girls started giggling, not as much as Kaylin. So I reached in and I saw this blue blob in the bag. And I'm not going to tell you the first two thoughts I had. I'll tell you the first thought I had. It's cold. Is this one of those freezer packs? You know, the blue ones? I mean, it didn't look like a freezer. It was just like a blob. And I pulled it out, and I'm just staring at this blue blob. And Kaylin couldn't hold it anymore. It's your lucky shirt! It was frozen. They soaked it and froze it. My lucky shirt. It's wrong, isn't it? I think it lost its muster because every time I wear it now, we still lose. Like, okay, got to redo it so we get a lucky back in there. Do you know why? Listen, we're almost done here. Do you know why Kaylin was giggling? Because she knew. Watch this. Do you know why the angels are singing? Because they know. Do you know why the angels are praising and lifting their voice? And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know why they're rejoicing this way? Because you and I, we sometimes don't know. And sometimes we wonder if God can really do a miracle in our life. You know, I got some mountains that need to be moved. Don't you? There are some things in my life that I can't do, nobody can do, only God can do this. I'm not sure. I just don't know if He can. And we get discouraged. Did you know Christmas time, it's amazing too, that Christmas time, all three of these things end up happening, where there are people who get so discouraged during Christmas time, and they wonder, can God truly comfort me in my lowness, in my discouragement? And we wonder, and we want delight, and we want those blessings, and we wonder about it, but the angels don't wonder. They know, and so they sing. The message for you and I tonight is that the angels know, and they're confident. And so what you and I can do tonight is we can rest in confidence. You and I can rest in confidence that God is in control and He can navigate miracles in your life. And God is the God of comfort. And if you came to church discouraged, that God can comfort you. He can give you peace. If you need salvation, He can reconcile you to God. And you can leave this place transformed, not the same person you came. Never to be the same person. And that tonight, here's what the angels know. Don't miss this. Here's what the angels know and they giggle about. God can give you delight. Amen. I mean real kind of happiness. The real kind. So we just need to trust Him. If you need to be saved, let me encourage you to come. If you needed this for encouragement, let me encourage you to come. Come to the Lord. Just say, Lord, this was for me. I needed this. And you know, I've wondered about it. I've doubted. I've struggled. But the angels don't struggle. The angels know.